Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. With me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxine.
How's it going?
And my boy and producer, MT.
What's up, Dub Nation?
Gentlemen, no guest today. Sometimes these are my favorite episodes, and we have some studio space to explore. So let's jump in here. And before I even get to the Warriors, because I got a lot of Warrior stuff, how has it been watching these playoffs without the Warriors in them? Because I've got some definitive opinions here, but I want to see if you guys share them. So how's this been so far?
Like, sometimes this is your favorite when it's just us three?
That's only sometimes. Pressure. So I far, just out. Because of that follow-up, this is not one of those.
I was going to ask, how do I make sure it is, but I've already ruined it. Okay.
Asking that question, I guess. So
exactly, yeah. So far, it's just lackluster. I mean, I asked myself this question during the last Dallas Clippers game. I was like, it's, you know, interesting basketball. It's Luka's going off, but I just don't have a vested interest. Like, I don't care. Like, I was trying to force myself to care because I like basketball. And I was like, are the Warriors really like that much more entertaining than, you know, like Luka's scoring a ton of points. If Steph scored 38 points and had 11 rebounds, you know, and 8 assists, I'd be like, oh, MVP game. But I just didn't care as much. And I was just like, is this how people feel about the Warriors, or is Steph really that much more entertaining than some of the rest of the stars in the league?
I mean, the basketball has been mostly excellent, and we have had a couple of really good series and some what the announcers have called heavyweight games, which I agree with.
Yeah.
But it's the stakes that are missing, right? And I think you hit both sides. So I genuinely miss having the Warriors on a night-to-night basis and the parties that represented and just the experience of having Warriors playoff basketball, yeah? But I'd also be lying to tell you that I don't totally enjoy not having that stress in my life. You know, like the watching those games every couple of days was taking years off my life during the playoff runs. I took the fucking losses so hard that being able to sit, watch, and enjoy without that huge downside, there's some, you know, some benefits there, but it's both sides of it. It's like watching a video of somebody else skydiving, you know, like it's slightly entertaining and what they're doing is, I don't know, worth watching, but there's no stress or stakes for me. And so it kind of takes away from the overall experience. So I'm liking it, but nowhere near, you know, what it was before. How about you, Maxine?
I feel like this falls into two camps, how you can watch the postseason, right? There's like love watching and hate watching. I love watch the Warriors. I get it's stressful, and sometimes I hate it too. But there's still a lot of joy in the hate watching. Watching the Suns get swept was very enjoyable for me. You know, I tune into all of these games just looking for the juicy storylines and, you know, the hit pieces on Frank Vogel or, you know, on Darvin Ham when the Lakers go out. It's pretty entertaining for me from that perspective. So, and it has been some high level basketball. There's no doubt I would prefer to have the Warriors in it, but hate watching is enough of a thing for me for this to be an enjoyable time.
I've got more than one dent in my wall from Warriors playoff basketball. Where like I've just gotten really frustrated and thrown things. I mean, you know, things that I'm not proud of. So being able to go through an off season with, you know, a dent-free experience, like I said, upsides, but I miss caring that much. I really do, you know, and I'm hoping this is just a 1 year removal and we'll be right back into Stress Town next year. Before we go Warriors, What's sticking out to you, boys? Because I'll give you a couple from me. Denver's play, and I've used this analogy before, and it dates me, but I'll do it again. There used to be these old school cartoons, Looney Tunes, and in them there was a character, Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew is a skunk. He spent the entire time of an 8-minute cartoon chasing a cat. The cat would run as fast as it could, would cross lakes, would go over mountains, would get into blimps. The cat would do everything it possibly could. Pepe Le Pew would never change pace, would always just stay right behind the cat. In the end, Pepe Le Pew would win, would always win the race. Denver, throughout the regular season, but sure as shit against LA, just kept his pace. Didn't matter if they were up 20, down 20. Didn't matter who was hurt or hurt, who wasn't. Didn't matter who was hot or wasn't. They just collectively came out and had good play after good play after good play, and then ultimately beat LA. And that seems to be their superpower, is they just get a good shot every single time. And the other thing that stuck out is the ascension of Anthony Edwards. This has been a passing of the baton postseason. I mean, we're watching all the young teams kind of figure out who they are, but I'm not sure if anybody has taken a leap more than Ant Edwards. And instead of praising his game, you know what I'm going to praise? His 100% acceptance rate. I have never spoken to a single person about Ant Edwards, and that person was like, fuck that guy. It's never happened. Everybody is excited about him. He just got the most pompous but biggest sign of approval from Jordan, who basically said, he reminds me of me, which was an incredible take. So those are the two things that stick out for me.
Yeah, I'm going to echo Ant Edwards and just add on how close we were to him being in the Warriors uniform. I mean, we had the second pick, you know, like it didn't sound like Minnesota was wavering on taking him at any point. But, you know, if there are any truth to the rumors that they were considering Wiseman for a little bit or LaMelo, you know, I wish they would have, because, you know, it sounds like we would have taken Ant Edwards, and who knows where we would have been now as a franchise if we had him as our starting three.
What I've heard, MT, and then getting back to you, not that Minnesota wavered on who they were going to pick, but what I've heard is that they wavered on whether or not they wanted the first pick. That right. pick was universally available because nobody recognized who the hell Ant Edwards was. You know, and it's not like this is hindsight 2020 and no one was going to make that move. But if they wanted, you know, yeah, they probably could have moved up. But to be fair, Wiseman's been great for us. So, I mean, like, it's not like we'd want to make that move.
Yeah, and then there's the famed story of Ant Edwards working out for us and Steve Kerr telling him, you have to push yourself harder. Like, can you go harder? Like, basically saying he was half-assing it. And Ant Edwards saying that moment kind of changed his career because he realized he wasn't, you know, taking it as serious as he needed to.
And not as widely reported, I'm pretty sure that Myers then asked him, do you speak Chinese? And when Edwards said no, they're like, oh, not going to happen, dude. We're going to have to go big and with the Chinese speaker.
You know, from my perspective, right, I think it a lot of people were concerned even before that Steve Kerr Golden State workout that Anthony Edwards didn't have that dog in him, as they like to say, that maybe he wasn't actually as excited about basketball, that he was just going to go the way of DeAndre Ayton, get his bag, and then sort of move on. And that was the narrative, and that's, I think, why a lot of people weren't excited in general about the top of that draft class. But it brings up for me, again, maybe another spectrum, right? Like hate watching versus love watching. And you might have to help me workshop this a little bit, but like salary players versus hourly players. So this idea that, you know, like you clock in, you clock out, you get your hours and you're sort of, and then you're done. And I feel like all of those Suns guys, KD, Booker, probably too, and Bradley Beal, just don't feel like they were interested. It was kind of my turn, your turn basketball, right? KD would sit in the corner, and maybe that's because Vogel drew up these plays or whatever, but I feel like Ant Edwards is the definition of the salary player, kind of like actually Jokic and Jamal Murray, right? That they're willing to make plays for each other. They're willing to figure out how to you know, fill in the seams and not just be the my turn, your turn, or just like I'm the superstar and it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. And again, credit to Anthony Edwards for making that leap, for working on the small things so that it's not just like he can take over in the game. I mean, that dunk was absurd, but at the same time, he also is starting to figure out how to read the court. And it's also something that I think that Jokic and Jamal Murray do so well. So that's been a lot of fun to watch both of those teams.
I'm only going to say this because I've talked hella shit about Minnesota. And let me do that again. You know, I mean, the way I've done it has always been like passive aggressive thank yous. Thank you for passing on Steph twice, right? Thank you for giving us Wiggins, although that one's a little bit hard now. Thank you for giving us JK, all of those. With that in tow, good for Minnesota. They went from a series of people who were known for not having heart, you know, like towards the top of their drafts, to now having a guy who has no problem laughing in Kevin Durant's face during a huge playoff victory. You know, so I mean, they found their guy, and it looks like we're speeding towards Ant Edwards being the face of the league. But this is not a Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, to everyone's great delight. So let's move to the Warriors boys and let's go to the jump. This is going to be the most important question I'm going to ask you today. So I've got some possible trades, and everyone is talking about the moves that the Warriors can make in the offseason and how we can reload as far as becoming a playoff contention or title contending team next year. But my question is this: are the Warriors still a desirable destination for NBA stars? Matt Steinmetz of the Steinian Guru Show, who's going to be joining us just next week today, said this, quote, "I wonder what the Warriors' reputation is around the league with players. Playing with the big three on the court is easy, but there's a part about off the court that's hard." What they were talking about is Draymond. And that's what made me start thinking about this. You know, we rewind the clock 3-4 years ago. Not only were we a destination, we were the only destination. DeMarcus Cousins came here and we weren't even recruiting him. He just out of nowhere was like, "Oh, it's cool if I play with you guys." And we said yes, like the last five in a pickup game. But now there's still desirable reasons. Steph is still here. Culture's still here. We're known for winning. But we're also maybe on the wrong side of age. The West is loaded. So getting into an all-star game in the Western Conference is a nightmare. And we'd be ridiculous not to at least point out that Draymond has had some shit behind the scenes. You know, there was a suggestion that Durant left because of Draymond. There's no suggestion for Jordan Poole. He punched him in the face, and then they had to train him away. So what do you guys think, man? Are we still, you know, top three? If an NBA star is willing to leave, is Golden State the spot he'd like to land?
Well, I don't think that you should take Jordan Poole getting punched as an example, because now he is maybe objectively the worst player in the NBA. I mean, what a brutal descension, because we also have Chris Paul as the goalpost for the opposite end of the spectrum, right? This is somebody that was a huge antagonist for Golden State, and then he comes to Golden State and he can't stop talking about how amazing it is to be with Draymond. So I think from a cultural perspective, from like a basketball IQ perspective, there's still a lot of reasons to be excited to be in Golden State. Plus, you got the venture capital Silicon Valley end of the spectrum. It is sometimes really beautiful weather if we don't tell them about the fog. You know, this is still one of the larger markets. You know, if you want to sell jerseys, like LeBron will have no trouble selling jerseys if he does end up in Golden State. So I think there's more reasons than not for people to be excited about being here.
MT, do you agree?
I don't, unfortunately. I wish we were, but I think post-pandemic, you look at it, there's no Bob Myers. Bob Myers is a significantly more sexier draw than Mike Dunleavy. That core three are aging out. So it's like, do you want to come play in the twilight years of the core three? And then just from a cost of living and quality of life, living in the Bay Area just changed post-pandemic. You know, like the venture capital thing is still there, but post-pandemic, it's spread out a little bit more evenly. I don't think it's as big of a unique draw just to this area of the country. And, you know, like there's just, you know, being transparent and honest, like the crime and kind of how San Francisco has fallen off and struggled as a city, you know, that matters. You saw some of the Major League Baseball free agents talking about why they didn't sign with the Giants is because of that. So I think it's probably the same for basketball players. Like they look at, do I want to spend half of my time in that city? And it's like, with an aging core, no Bob Myers, and I don't need to go there to get, you know, investment in Silicon Valley or venture capitalists. I can do that with just partnerships from other parts of the country. I think we've just lost some of that shine.
To be fair about the baseball stuff, I mean, that came from Posey, right? And from, I forget, one of the writers. We didn't hear it from any actual free agents. We didn't hear it from the players. We're like, you know, Otani didn't come out and say, I walked the tenderloin and I'm not down. You know, it was a suggestion that was out there, but the fact that the suggestion's even being reported, you know, that that any NBA free agent could have heard that probably becomes part of the conversation. You know where it is for me? So it used to be, and I just gave you the DeMarcus Cousins example. We were the spot. So if the Warriors wanted somebody, they wanted us. So if you were going to make a trade or something like that, you didn't have to give up everything, because if free agency was upcoming, that player would probably join us anyways. I feel like we've taken a step down now. Not entirely. We're not out of the conversation, but now we're in a place where we can only go after players who are available for a reason, right? We don't just get to get anybody we want. Now we're talking about LeBron James or Kevin Durant because they're older. There's a reason they're available. Those are the caliber stars we're going to. If we're using it as like a vacation destination, you know, we used to be like an all-inclusive resort and like on the beach in, you know, some beautiful European locale. That's not true anymore. A place where anyone would want to go at any point, regardless of what was happening. You know, now we're like a budget Hawaii vacation. I'm still in. It sounds great, but it's not tip top. And, you know, it's we've taken a step down as far as where people or how people view this location, I guess. It took me a while to get there, but that's what I was trying to say.
I mean, I hear all of that, but in some ways that makes me think like all of this stuff about what surrounds Chase Center or what surrounds any of these arenas doesn't matter as much. Draymond lives in LA the majority of the year, right? These guys can get wherever they want to get at any point in time. Half of their games are on the road anyways. So none of this shit, I think, matters in the way that it used to. They have so much money that it's not a concern. Just like how you can do venture capital from your couch in the middle of the country, you can also be on the Warriors and essentially not have your home in San Francisco. So I think it's less about the location and more about the team culture.
I think it's all, I mean, so let me be crystal clear. That whole thing I was just saying has more to do with what's happening inside of Chase Center, not outside of it. If we still had the team we had with KD and everybody else, I don't give a fuck if we played in a meth lab in Fresno. We would be, everybody would want to come here. We would be perfectly fine. You know, it's just that this combination of things, all those things we said before, Steph is still a big, bright, shiny reason to come here. Klay, maybe not so much. Draymond, maybe not so much. If you're a young player watching what Moses has had to go through, not, you know, the most intriguing deal. So again, we are still a destination that people have to consider. Lacob will pay you. You can get advice on investments. This is a beautiful place to live. You're going to play with one of the greatest point guards of all time, but there's some buts. There used to not be any buts. And once you're into that, like, well, I'm not sure, then maybe those creeping concerns of like, well, what did Buster Posey say about baseball guys? You know, what's Fox News reporting about downtown San Francisco? I mean, that kind of shit, you know, which leads to our off-season focus, boys. So we're taking different steps throughout the off-season. Last time we reviewed Klay Thompson. I've got one for Draymond. We got a ton of off-season content planned here. Today, we're looking at some planned or possible trades for Golden State, because that seems to be the most important topic in Warriors land right now. So I put together three possible superstar trades. But before we do, I'm going to revisit a topic we touched on last week. So the idea is we're kind of at a crossroads here. Either the Warriors could go all in, try to bring in another star to pair with Steph Curry and then give up on young talent and see where that brings us. Or the other crossroads, don't go all in, try to develop internally, maybe bring in one other guy and then see how it goes next year. And up until this first round of the playoffs, we had all of the reasons. Actually, you know what? Let me change that. The first round of the playoffs have illustrated why we might want to go both ways. On one side, we've seen this huge ascension of young teams. We've seen OKC. We've seen Minnesota. We see why Steph needs someone else. They are not on the same level of these guys right now. We need a talent infusion. So on that idea, everyone's available except for the big guns. Let's bring another superstar. But on the other side, look at Phoenix, who are completely screwed now. That is exactly what Phoenix did. They traded all of their future. They have no first round picks left. And despite bringing in KD, they're screwed now. They got swept in the first round. They have no way out of this mediocrity. And now they're desperately trying to reverse that, right? They want to get rid of Kevin Durant and bring in draft picks. So this first question, before I give you guys any possible trades, if it's up to you, would you do the, okay, make all the young assets available, let's bring in a superstar? Or are you a little colder on that now because we're watching what Kevin Durant and the Suns are going through?
It's a brutal question. This is not easy, and this is why the Suns picked a path and now they're having to deal with it. I think the big difference here, the Suns, granted, they got to the finals once, but they don't have any titles. We essentially know that Steph Curry is capable of leading a championship team to a championship. And I, as a Warriors fan, as a Steph Curry fan, I want nothing more than to see him get a fifth ring. And so I'm willing to do anything to get to that point. And I can trust that we're going to get there. I can trust that he's not going to be an hourly player if we bring in another superstar and trade out all of our picks. And if there's one more championship that comes with it, it will all be worth it. And you know that's exactly what the Suns were thinking too.
Makes me hella nervous. I've said this a million times. I'm the kind of person who likes looking forward to things. My favorite part of a three-day vacay or a three-day weekend, rather, is the Thursday night before, you know? And so the idea of giving up all of our assets to squeeze everything into like 1 or 2 years makes me really nervous. I hate the idea of like where we'll be when we don't have any draft picks in the future. But it doesn't change what we've said a million times. The phrase once in a generation is used too frequently. But it means that you're never going to see a player of his caliber again. Steph Curry is a once in a generation player, and I think you have to take advantage of that lottery win. You know that we have this person in our life now because there's no guarantee we're ever going to have somebody else to surround with the assets necessary to win a championship. But I got lemon booty, boys. This doesn't. You had asked me this like 4 or 5 months ago. It would have been a slam dunk. Yes, go for it. Now, watching how good Minnesota and OKC are and the gap between us, it's no guarantee that we bring in another star that we're winning a championship. I think I still want to pursue it, but it makes me nervous because if we give up everything to come in second, you know, that doesn't sound in particularly great to me.
Yeah. I still think you do it to your point of once in a generation. When you have a player like that, I think you have to do what it takes to extend that window and keep that window open for as long as possible. The comparison to Phoenix is a little off to me just because Phoenix has three players that roughly do the same thing. Mm. Whereas Steph, Clay, and Draymond don't. Given Clay hasn't really come back on the defensive end as well as he was playing before the injuries. I think you can make a case that there's some redundancy with just the shooting between Steph and Clay now, but the fit for those three was different because of they just serve different purposes. Whereas, you know, Phoenix, they're all mid-range jump shooters, you know, for the most part. None of them, you're like, oh, this guy's super good on defense. You know, KD's probably underrated, but you still don't think of him defense first. So I think you have to go all in. We won a championship with those three and then a bunch of strong role players because Wiggins played out of his mind. I think if we found the Wiggins that would play out of his mind, the new Wiggins, whoever that player is, there's probably a small handful that Bram you'll get to in these trade scenarios. But I think you have to do it. I mean, it's going to hurt when we have to rebuild and Steph, Clay, and Draymond all hanging up in two, three years. But I think you owe it to Steph to do that, and you owe it to just the game to try to make the last years of Steph's career exciting for everybody.
It'll hurt when we can't rebuild, not when we have to rebuild, right? Like when we watch everybody else use our draft picks to rebuild their team and we're just stuck there not doing anything.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Does this impact it at all? Because I haven't talked about this quote yet, and then we'll get to the trade. Right after the play-in loss, Steve Kerr said, look, you know, disappointed, it was what it was. But he said, that should have been the first loss in a seven-game series. We should be down 0-1, not out of the playoffs. And in fact, with all of the injuries, he intimated, he didn't say, he said, I viewed this team as a 50-win team. He intimated that they weren't because, you know, people weren't necessarily available. So Kerr, who, you know, incidentally, is the most successful coach as far as winning percentage of all time, and who spent a ton of time with this team behind closed doors in a way we didn't see it, didn't look at these guys and say, we're so far off. You know, like, this is not, nope, this iteration does not work. What he said was, we kind of got screwed. You know, does that change anything? Does that make you feel like, wow, we can stand pat and not have to give up assets? Or is Kerr maybe being a little delusional and emotional shortly after a shitburger loss?
I trust Kerr's assessment of talent. You can, you know, quibble over whether or not he knows how to do rotations of said talent, but I think he knows what it takes to win a championship, and, you know, you have to respect his winning percentage. And I agree. I mean, post All-Star break, we had one of the strongest records. I still believe if Gary Payton II plays in that sack game, that it's not a blowout. I wouldn't guarantee we win just because of GP2, but I think it's a lot closer and it's a game. So I trust Kerr on that. I think the team as currently constructed, and I was trying to be bullish on it throughout the season here on the podcast, I still believe in that roster construction. We have to find out where Andrew Wiggins went, not the one who was playing for us. Make sure he doesn't shoot too many free throws ever again. And, you know, I think just we have to bring in one more person because you have to slide Clay to the bench. And I don't know if Pods or Moody are ready to be the starting two guard of a championship team.
You just inadvertently talked me into it. Not because of the ultimate analysis, solid enough, because of the line of like, look, if we had just had GP2, we wouldn't have been blown out in the 9-10 play-in game. We would have had a shot against Sacramento if we had only had GP2. So, yeah, dude, I think maybe a big change might be necessary, which leads to three possible trades, gentlemen. These are all big names. Two of them have been thrown around a lot this week.
GP2's in this trade scenario?
A little bit less. Fuck no! What if we play Sacramento again? We need to have a shot against them, dude. Are you not listening to your own goddamn advice? I want to be within 1,000 of Sacramento the next time we're in a play-in game. So let's keep GP2 on the roster. Here is the first name, Kevin Durant. Before I give you the actual trade, Maxime, you like the idea? Just getting the band back together. How do you feel about Durant returning to Golden State?
So unbelievably mixed. I think, you know, he had there were some comments that made it pretty clear that he spilled to the media a bit that he was unhappy with the rotations or the lack of rotations that he was a part of, and there's no doubt that Steve Kerr's offense would get him involved more regularly. But like, man, this dude clearly comes with so much baggage at every stop, and he continues to not take me up on my proposal to meditate with him on a daily basis, which I know would help. And so if he comes back to Golden State and he's not taking care of his mind, you know, it's like this, it's only so much time before it combusts. And then he and Draymond are simultaneously punching each other and knocking each other out instead of it only going one way. I think the on-court production would be great for a while, just like it was the first time he came here. And I think it would eventually erode. And maybe that would be in time with sort of the end of the Steph, Clay, Draymond era. But I think it's going to happen sooner this time because they already know each other.
Turns out that having success and then losing it has made me completely ditch my principles. Like when we were winning like 19 wins a game or 19 wins in a season, you know, I could tell you things like, I never want that person playing here, or I love Yuri Welsh, or Vontigo Cummins is going to be a star. We need to develop these guys. And then somewhere along the line, we started winning championships. Then we lost them. I'm desperate to get back there. I don't give a fuck who they bring in. Sure, dude, Kevin Durant, let's go. It won't upset me in any way, shape, or form. This is a guy who may or may not have shithoused this podcast to Connor Letourneau, and I would still pick him up from the airport, drive him every day to training camp if he'd like. He can stay with us. I think he'd be disgusted in my house, but he can live in the guest room too. Like, it's on. I would welcome him back with open arms, no problem at all.
Yeah, after going through a season where Chris Paul was a Golden State Warrior, I feel like I am open to anybody with the exception of two players. But other than that, I'd be open to just anybody now. Like if we can do Chris Paul, I feel like you can say yes to anybody except James Harden and Dylan Brooks.
Oh, you should have let us guess. There's no way I would have gotten the Dylan Brooks.
Although, oh, really?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Now that we've said it, I mean, I saw some random thing on my timeline that reminded me of those cupcake shirts. Remember, like when everyone was calling us cupcakes, and I was like, I got super nostalgic. Like I was like, oh, what a great time! I was like that meme with Wolverine touching the picture. I was like, oh, the cupcake shirt. Like I super missed that. So I would bring them in, boys. Here's the suggested trade. The Warriors get Kevin Durant and Grayson Allen. We get a scorer and a shooter to bring them back in. We give up Chris Paul's $30 million, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and two first-round picks. What do you think? I'm leaving the years off the first-round picks, but we got to assume that Phoenix would be smart enough where they're going to kick it out 3-4 years, right? The idea is that they would want those picks after we become terrible, you know, once Steph retires and that kind of thing. So 28, 29, somewhere around there.
Sold. Yes, I take it. And I mean, look, I could give you the breakdown. First of all, I think Grayson Allen is nice. That dude played really well. Good for him for getting his bag before the Suns shitstorm really hit the fan. I think that moves the needle. I'm still not, as I've said before into this microphone, not completely convinced that Jonathan Kuminga is on the superstar track. So I think selling high is right now. Maybe he'll continue to ascend. I could be totally proven wrong. I do really love him as a player and would be sad to see him go. But I think overall that brings in more than it takes out. I think that moves the needle sufficiently where we are for sure a title contender.
MT, I mean, the Durant's look good. Had a good year, played a lot of games, looked vulnerable in the playoffs, although there's been some suggestions he wasn't used the right way. It sounds like Vogel's probably going to get fired. So I don't know. What do you think? I don't even know if Phoenix would necessarily do this, although they need a lifeline. And I think those two first-round picks, and Wiggins is, you know what, 26, 27, however old he is. So they might believe in their ability to revamp him. And Kuminga hopefully has a very high ceiling. So let's say they would say yes, just for the purposes of this. Would you?
I would if we could drop the first round picks from 2-1. I just feel like it's a lot. It's an overly generous lifeline to Phoenix. I realize it's probably what it would take, if not more. But I hate the idea of giving away our top talent, young talent in Kuminga, and two possible future Kumingas. It's a lot of players for an aging Kevin Durant for just a few years. So I say yes, but begrudgingly, I push hard to try to see if I can get those two first round picks down to one.
First round picks are so interesting, right? I mean, especially as Warrior fans, you know, for every Steph Curry, we've got a Patrick O'Brien. You know, we've got a Todd Fuller. You just don't know. They could be the most valuable thing, or they could be absolutely nothing. It could be a James Wiseman, a swing and a miss. This offer is what I'd call a sleepless night offer, right? Some offers are real easy. They offer me Kevin Durant straight up for GP2 and, you know, a bowl of broccoli. Whoa. Yes, hell of easy. As long as we don't play Sacramento, MJ, of course, right? Easy as shit. And to make the numbers work. They want just Chris Paul's contract and then a poo-poo platter of additional money to bring it back? Easy. Absolutely. Also easy. They want Steph Curry back. No. You know, that'd be easy back and forth. This is not good enough to take, but not shitty enough not bad enough to walk away from and not good enough to immediately take. Sleepless night. I'd toss and turn over it. I think I say yes. I think I do. And I'd be excited for next season, but I wouldn't go celebrate the night away, right? Okay. Name number two, LeBron James. Another name we've been hearing. To our credit, something I asked Bonte about months ago. We saw this thing maybe developing. So here, the Warriors would have to draft Bronny James in the second round. They then give up CP3, Andrew Wiggins, JK, and only one first in this one. All right. So that may satiate you, MT. They get back LeBron James and Vanderbilt, who seemingly is out of the rotation. Didn't play at all in that Denver series. I don't know if it's matchups or what, but I liked him, at least against us in last year's playoffs. So before you even give me the answer on the trade, MT, take this one first. How do you feel about LeBron coming here? And filter it through the KD lens. Do you like the idea of LeBron being on the Warriors more or less than Durant rejoining the band?
Less, just because of the years of against Cleveland. So, you know, LeBron has always been kind of our biggest rival. But, you know, that said, he wasn't in the top two. He's still not James Harden or Dylan Brooks in my eyes. So if we could deal with CP3, I feel like eventually we would get used to seeing LeBron in a Warriors jersey. But I mean, I would love it. I think Vanderbilt didn't play because he was hurt. At least he didn't dress. So that was why, it may not have been a rotation thing. If Vanderbilt is included in it, I think that's more of an easy trade. I think I immediately do it just because Vanderbilt is really good defensively. He doesn't need the ball on offense. And he can set screens and just kind of do his thing and kind of be the scrappy guy. And the way LeBron James is playing, it doesn't look like he's slowing down, even though he's 39. So, I think we draft Bronny James and bring him in, and we probably make it to the Western Conference Finals.
As far as bringing LeBron in, just the idea, do I like it? I'm fine with it. I mean, I just told you that after everything we've gone through these last few years, I'm pretty much open to anybody coming in. But if we had watched them lose four straight, let's say we took the Lakers path, right? Let's say the Warriors had made it out of the play-in, and we just watched, we get swept, and in frustrating fashion, and we watch all the rest of these things happening. We watch OKC's ascension. We watch Orlando. There's all these young teams kind of figuring themselves out. Then I would absolutely be down. I almost think it is easier to have lost in the play-in than to have watched us get our ass beat in the first round as far as a fan experience. And if we were pushed through that, I think everyone's willingness to bring in whoever the hell wanted to come here would be a lot more, right? But that said, would I do the trade? So to remind us, we give up CP3, Wiggins, JK, and a first. We bring back LeBron and Vanderbilt. I say yes to this one too, boys. I don't know about Wiggins. What's going on with him? If we had any idea of like Wiggins might come back, well, then this is more of a sleepless night thing for me. I don't know if he's coming back. And on this trade, especially since it's only one first rounder, I'm in. I say yes before the end of the call. They don't need a callback from me. I play coy, mess around, maybe see if they take Moody instead of JK. But before they got off, I'm like, yes, sure. Let's make this go down.
I agree. And MT made a really good point in not trying to compare the Suns to any of these future situations. I know that was a little while ago, but it totally applies here. LeBron fits perfectly into the way that we operate, right? This is not a redundant position. And I think he would, it's like four people that could bring up the ball and play make it at an elite level. It's just a fantastic fit. Also, there are rumors that because he has the player option for the coming year. And, maybe he opts in and they do a sign and trade or whatever, but like, it's possible that he's just a free agent and comes to us right away. So it's kind of more compelling to be like, oh, we could just slough off salary to fit him in instead of having to get rid of some of our nice pieces. But either way, I'm on board for the LeBron experience in Golden State.
like the idea. You know, I like movies where I can see myself in the protagonist. You know, now as like a dude who's getting older and hates that, I like the idea of a team that's getting older that goes out and beats the young teams. I like the concept of that. It's like the movie series, The Expendables, you know, like let's go and see what happens. And LeBron, even more than KD, coming in here and, you know, and like dusting off the old rivalries and being like, you know, one more run to beat those young guys does speak to me. All right. Our third name, and it's not one we've heard that much about, and it's an exception to our theme here. This person is not in the end stages of their career. In fact, I think maybe some of their best playing days are ahead of them. It is Brandon Ingram. I think that New Orleans needs a change, and they are locked up in the front court. Zion continuously gets hurt, but Ingram's contract is coming up. All right. So assuming that Ingram might be available, here's the suggested trade. The Warriors give up Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, because they do not need another front court player, because that's exactly why they're trying to get rid of the logjam, right? That's why New Orleans would make that trade. So CP, Klay Thompson on a sign and trade, somewhere around $24 million. Brandon Prajimski, a first rounder, and a pick swap. So we'll say that the first rounder is in 27, the pick swap's in 28. The Warriors get back Brandon Ingram and Jonas Valanciunas. I don't know how to say his last name. Sunis? Valanciunas? I don't know. I practiced it before.
Definitely
this.
Definitely not Valanciunas, but please.
I wrote it out phonetically on my page. Phonetically. And still fucked it up. I don't know where the SWE came from. There was no W on this page. Who knows, dude? Either way, Valanciunas.
Nice.
And B.I. And the Valanciunas contract would have to be about what Clay's making, because he's also on a new contract coming up. What do you guys think?
Nope. That was an hourly player if I've ever seen one in that series. Brandon Ingram was a no-show, and he has had no indications that he's any kind of a 16-game player at any point. I am not trusting him as a centerpiece of a trade.
Yeah, I hang up the phone anytime you talk about the core three. I think it's important that Steph, Clay, and Dre retire as Warriors, so any conversation about those three, if I'm Mike D, I just ask to move on or hang up the phone.
Get the fuck out of here. If I called you up and offered you Antetokounmpo for Draymond, you would say yes in a heartbeat. If I offered you Clay for Wemby, you know, from San Antonio, you say yes before I can even fuck up his name. There's definitely not a absolutely not. There's just a you better come up with a lot of people before you want any of those big three.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are all scenarios that would never happen. In a scenario where they would be like, okay, this player will come, Giannis is not coming to the Warriors. If he's going to come and it's going to take everybody, I wouldn't do it. I know it doesn't make sense, you know, from a basketball standpoint, but I just think for the legacy and for the franchise, it's important that those three retire as a Warrior.
Well, I'm just happy to see you take at least a half step off the high horse there, buddy. You're talking about, I will never trade the big three for anybody. Get out of here. I say BS. And incidentally, if Milwaukee loses tonight and they go down against Indiana, I mean, it'll take another season. But if that trade for Lillard proves to be a giant flail and it's not coming together in Milwaukee, it's not totally out of the question. Then Antetokounmpo becomes available. It might be out of the question they want to trade him for Draymond, but if they did make that offer, I think even you, MT, would say yes. We need someone to back this Brandon Ingram trade that I suggested. I thought like I was really thinking out of the box and was super proud of it, but even I have a no on this. Although I kind of like Ingram. He can shoot, he's got size, and he's young. That is not, we do not have size and we do not have youth. So those are two upsides.
He has height. He doesn't have size.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me go back through this. Chris Paul, we don't care about. Klay Thompson, we do, but we already have said he's going to the bench in a best case scenario. Brandon Podziemski, we really like, but it's not like a giant difference maker. And then a first rounder and a pick swap. That's not a terrible, we're not giving up a ton. Sleepless night. F you guys. You almost talked me out of this. Sleepless night. And I still call the next day and say no, but do I consider it? Sure. I get to the end of the phone call and into my bed before I've made a decision.
The only thing that's keeping me up is the fact that you, as the proverbial GM, are being kept up by this. That's a no for me.
Yeah. What's his name? What's the GM from Pelicans? Griffin?
Yeah.
Valanciunas.
Valanciunas.
That's who I was talking about before. Yeah. I don't know.
Griffin Sweeney calls me.
I'm talking about the player. Oh, no. I was not talking about the GM. Nah, you know what? It's good. We got there. Now you know exactly where I'm coming from, boys. I promised a certain stop time, and we've hit that now, so I'm going to keep my promise. I also will say, jokes before, I love the three-man episodes, and this was no exception. Always huge fun. If you want to reach out to us, get us a question, let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job, tell these bastards that the Ingram trade was a good idea, let me know that I'm ridiculous and should have said no right from the jump. You can send us an email, and you can send that email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
We're on social media sites everywhere. You can support us on Patreon. And with that in mind, go Warriors. And hopefully, see you next week.
Good.
GP2 forever.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.